It's Thursday, September 21st, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Victor Thorne. This is one of the few truly independent sources in the alternative media. We're one of the lone wolves in a field where there are so many other minor league sheeple. As you can tell, I'm flying solo today here in Happy Valley, Pennsylvania. A very cold Happy Valley, Pennsylvania. 39 degrees this morning. Lisa's still a bit under the weather. We want to thank everybody for the emails that they've been sending. Hoping Lisa gets better. I guarantee by tomorrow, come hell or high water, she's going to be sitting beside me here at Wing Radio, where we're going to review Aaron Russo's film, Freedom to Fascism. Now, this movie has only been released in a few specifically selected theaters, certainly not out on DVD yet, but we received an advanced copy from the producers. We're going to watch it tonight, and in all honesty, we don't know a whole lot about this movie, so we're going to give you our appraisal of it tomorrow, and let the chips fall where they may. We've received quite a number of very positive reviews of this. Also, some people saying be wary of it. So we're going to look at it tonight with fresh eyes, come back tomorrow. Now, the big news over the last couple days, we've touched upon it a little bit here at Wing TV, was the speeches at the UN given by Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad and also Hugo Chavez from Venezuela. Now, Chavez has raised people's ire quite a bit. He comes into our front yard here in the United States of America at the UN, and he calls our president El Diablo, the devil. Now, before I continue, I want everyone to know, I'd probably agree that George Bush is a... I would agree that George Bush is a miserable dupe of a human being. But George Bush isn't the devil. What he is a puppet, actor, mouthpiece for the truly rich, powerful elite behind the scenes. So what Chavez is doing, first of all, is what so many others, and not only the mainstream media, but the alternative media do. They place the onus of blame on George Bush. They make it seem as if this guy is calling the shots, and all troubles, everything ends with George Bush. And that basically isn't even remotely close to being the truth, because George Bush is nothing but a little wooden puppet that can barely give an adequate speech dangling from his strings. So, Chavez, though, is seen by many, especially on the left, as a savior. This is a guy that's standing up to the New World Order. This is a guy that's standing up to the imperialists. And he's going to give them hell. But look how much America hatred was exhibited at the United States. Now, I'm going to be the first one to denounce this administration and say that I hate George Bush. I hate Dick Cheney. The neocons have an agenda that is far from being America first. I also despise the administration before them, Bill and Hillary Clinton, as well as George Bush Sr., who also ran the criminal operations while Ronald Reagan was president. So we have a lot of work to do in this country to make it better. But ask yourself a question. When you see all the America haters, not only those in this country, but so many in foreign countries, do you want your country destroyed? That's the big question to all of those people in America listening to this show right now. Do you want the United States destroyed? Well, here's what we have right now. The big problem is this two-party system. One of the big problems. Now, of course, we have the Federal Reserve that controls the money, and we have the nation of Israel pulling our strings from behind the curtain. But we have those on the left who hate America. We have those on the right who enable the neocons. So, is Hugo Chavez, is he the hope to save America. Well, Hugo Chavez, first of all, denounces capitalism, yet he's become an extremely, extremely wealthy man via capitalism, via selling oil to the United States and many other nations. Also, this guy is an avowed socialist. Now, do you know what a socialist is? It's someone that wants more government control. Ask yourself, is this the model that you want for the United States? Do you want even more government control in our lives? More government control of bureaucracies, of keeping track of people, intervention in the schools and the banks and so forth. Socialists want more government, more social programs, more everything. Now, me personally, I want less government, a lot less government in our lives. In fact, I take it so far as to almost abolish the federal government. We have to keep a little bit of it around, but by and large, resort back to state and local governments and lessen to a great degree the national or the federal government. Hugo Chavez and those on the left, though, want the exact opposite. They want more government, and the step beyond socialism, of course, is communism. Is that the direction we want to be going? Well, who are the people that Chavez hangs out with? How about Daniel Ortega, an avowed communist? How about Fidel Castro, a communist? Now, also Chavez, he's making tons of money off of this oil. And what's he doing with it? Well, he's putting a lot of it into the Venezuelan military. He has an increase in military spending. Now, in the United States, there's been an increase in military spending. In Israel, there's been an increase in military spending. When we do it, when Israel does it, it's a bad thing, and I agree, because this is nothing more than greed from the war machine. Yet, nobody from the left seems to object when Hugo Chavez increases his military spending. So, he denounces capitalism, yet makes his money off of it. And what it really boils down to, why I'm bringing this up, is you'll have people like Mike Rupert. And I was talking to one of his former employees a couple weeks ago, and he said that whenever there was bad economic news about America, Rupert would become gleeful in that this would augment, at least in his own twisted mind, his peak oil theory. So he's so immersed in these theories of his, these wrong theories of his, that whenever there was something bad said about America or the economy took a downturn, Rupert would be thrilled. And there's a lot of other people in this country that feel the same way. They hate America. Well, there are many, many wrongs in this country. As I've said, we've written about them ad nauseum. And believe me, I know more than most how far we have to go to turn this country around. But let's pause for a second and ask a question. Where else in the world would you rather live? Really think about that. Where else? If you were given an open-ended ticket right now and enough money to make a move, let's say $10,000, $15,000, where you could comfortably move somewhere and set yourself up, where would you go? Is there anywhere else you would want to go? Myself, I have no desire whatsoever to move or live anywhere else except America. None whatsoever. So, from that perspective, I want things to be good in America. I don't want to see the demise of this country. And it seems like when quite a number of people in the alternative media start rallying around people like Hugo Chavez, a socialist, someone that wants increased government in our lives, it makes me ponder what their motives are. So we have to ask ourselves, do you think Hugo Chavez, the president of Venezuela, do you think he has your best interests in mind via his actions? In other words, does he have the everyday American's best interests in mind when he does what he does? I'd have to answer absolutely not. Hugo Chavez has an agenda. What's this agenda? Well, how about where he's in New York City today, the day after his UN speech, and he goes down to Harlem, and he's giving away free fuel certificates to the poor. Now, do you think he really gives a damn about the poor? I don't think so, because I've met enough people over the last couple years from Venezuela, and I ask them how they like their president, how they like Chavez. And to a T, I haven't yet found one that said they like him. They said the poor in his country are everywhere. They're making millions and billions of dollars off the oil, yet the poor are everywhere still in Venezuela. Yet here he comes up to our country, into Harlem, with this PR stunt, this publicity stunt, kind of like Alex Jones going up to the Bilderberg meeting. Do you think he gives a damn about the people in Harlem? No. He's doing this to make us look bad. And that's what it boils down to. So, he's at the UN. He's popping off. He's calling Bush El Diablo. And yeah, I want this. If you look, see the shirt I'm wearing right now. We wore it once on Wing TV. It says, impeach Bush and Cheney. Get them the hell out of office. But what are we going to do if we put our cards behind Hugo Chavez? Is that what we want? Ask yourself another question. What if all the people like us at Wing TV and so many others in the alternative media that speak very vehemently against the wrongs of our government. Imagine if you went down to Venezuela and started speaking out this way against Hugo Chavez. How long do you think you would last on their streets or on their internet? Now, this is very interesting because we were up at Ground Zero a couple weeks ago. Thousands of 9/11 truthers with some very, very vocal, some very adamant signs speaking out against this government and this administration. And as far as I could see from the couple hours we were there, no arrests. Nobody was beaten to the ground with batons. And it's kind of ironic because one of the individuals up there was Alex Jones, and he was ranting and raving about the police state in America. Yet, why isn't anybody pointing out the irony that a police state means that if you speak out against the regime in power, it's indicative of them to beat you down and haul you away? That's the epitome of what a police state is. So, a good example would be Tiananmen Square, 1989. What if you went into the People's Republic of China, into one of their big cities, and started denouncing the government like so many of us did at Ground Zero, or like we did in Oklahoma City, or like we did in Washington, D.C., where we stood in front of the White House with a 14-foot banner about the World Trade Center controlled demolition. I remember when George Bush visited Penn State University a little over a year ago, and we went down there, and Lisa was yelling at the top of her voice things that nobody in China would be allowed to say for more than 5 seconds before they'd be beaten down. Or if you go to North Korea, or you go into Iran, and you speak out about the mullahs there, or the ayatollahs. Do you know what a police state is? A real police state means you don't have freedom of speech. Yet Alex Jones is up there with a bullhorn, ranting and raving about the police state, yet nobody beat him down. Nobody arrested him. It's unbelievable. The point I'm trying to make is, Chavez comes up here in our front yard and pops off about America, yet any of us that went on the streets of Venezuela and did the same thing down there, I almost guarantee that they wouldn't be out there very long before they were hauled away. So what we have to do is look at the kind of system that these individuals have. Chavez runs a socialist system that I don't think tolerates dissent a whole lot. So, do we want to put our cards with him? Do we want to follow this guy? That's one of the pieces of the puzzle. Another is, Why are these individuals even being allowed on the world stage? Chavez says he's a man of the people. Yet he's a multimillionaire, extremely wealthy. And he criticizes the poor and the system we have in this country, yet he has the same one in his country. Now, let's go and turn our attention a little bit in another direction. Even though it's affiliated, we have Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. And I have to admit, I'm extremely intrigued by this man. Extremely intrigued. In fact, when Ahmadinejad sent his 18-page letter to George Bush a few months ago, Lisa Giuliani and myself spent an entire show analyzing what he said in this letter, and it was very impressive, very impressive. Yet he's an enigma. Is Mahmoud Ahmadinejad an individual we should put our hopes in? A lot of people say, well, Ahmadinejad's great because he speaks out against Israel. He speaks out against the Jews. He questions the Holocaust. And you know what? I wish we had 10 or 50 or 100 more world leaders that would speak out against all of these above topics. But let's hold on a second. Adolf Hitler also spoke out against the Jews. And you know what? Adolf Hitler, as you've heard some of our guests on this show say, Adolf Hitler was very, very manipulated by the Zionist forces that not only financed him, but worked hand in hand with him before and during World War II. So, here's what I think we all have to focus our attention on with Ahmadinejad. What if he's being pushed into war by the state of Israel itself? How many people want a massive war? What could be possibly World War III in the Middle East? Do the people of America want that? Hell no. We don't even want this god-awful war in Iraq that we're stuck inside. Do you think the people in Palestine or Iraq or Iran or Syria, do you think the everyday people want a war that's going to be a bloodbath? Absolutely not. Do you even think the everyday people in Israel want World War III? I'd have to say no, because they saw what happened during this short-lived war with Lebanon and the Hezbollah forces. The only people that want war on a large scale in the Middle East are the Israeli warmongers, the Israel First neocons in our government, and all those who are making a killing inside the war machine. That's the only people that want war, that want World War III in the Middle East. 13 months ago, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad was virtually unknown in the world. He was the mayor of Tehran. That's what he was. Nobody knew who he was. Now, a year later, everybody in the world knows who he is. How could he have this meteoric rise to power to become the president and have the global media covering his every word? He has this fiery rhetoric about Israel. They should be wiped out wiped off the map as a state, which we've written articles and said that we agree with this stance, that the only way there's going to be peace in the Middle East is if Israel is no longer a nation over there, an officially sanctioned nation in the Middle East. He's also talked about the Holocaust and many other things. Last night, he even met with a dozen or so members of the Council on Foreign Relations in New York City, and from the reports I read, he confounded all of them with his rhetoric, with his way of arguing around their arguments. So, is he really an outsider? Or is this a major ruse that's being perpetrated to get the ball rolling for World War III? Even if Ahmadinejad is truly independent, even if he is truly opposed to these New World Order forces that everybody knows are there, what if he still is being suckered or duped into fomenting or initiating or allowing to happen the initial phase of World War III? Who the hell wants World War III? Because we know where it's going to go. It's going to become nuclear. Who the hell wants that? Who wants to live through it again? Our economy right now is one step away from being knocked over the edge if there was a catastrophic event like a dirty bomb in Chicago or Los Angeles or New York. We don't want or need any more of these catastrophic spike events. It's like a boxer that's on the ropes. We don't need that last knockout punch. So, another thing you have to ask is, how is Ahmadinejad getting all this mainstream global media coverage? As we said yesterday, and there's many, many reports to back this up, the Jews own and control not only the American media, but large segments of the global media. If they don't want something on there, they don't put it on there. Yet Ahmadinejad's like a rock star these days in the media. He's on 60 Minutes. He's on Fox News. He's on all of them. He's on the cover of Time Magazine again. Remember, who wants war in the Middle East? Israel does. Israel is the country that wants it. They're the bloodthirsty demons that are pushing this whole thing. And why do they want that? Because they want to reorder the Middle East. They want chaos. They want to reshape it. Just like they did with Europe in World War I and World War II. The eventual thing that was formed was the European Union. Well, they want a Middle Eastern Union with, of course, what country at the top of the control pyramid? Yeah, you guessed it. Israel. So, is Ahmadinejad a modern-day dupe like Hitler? Or is he the savior? Is he the real thing? Well, a lot of people say that China and Russia would join forces behind Iran if the United States and Israel ever attack it. Is that what we want? Do we want the United States and Israel against Iran, Russia, and China? I sure as hell don't. Also, some people like Mark Glenn say that they think Iran already has the bomb. Do we want another nation in this world to have the bomb? I sure as hell don't. There's others now that we've had on this show that think Ahmadinejad's a dupe. One of them was Christopher John Bjerknes, who said he thinks he's nothing but a shill for these New World Order forces. Also, Alex Jones, when he followed us on September 11th, on the George Norrie Coast to Coast AM show, said point blank he thinks Ahmadinejad's a part of the New World Order. People like Viz say Ahmadinejad knows the handshake, if you know what that means. So, here's another question. I asked everybody if they wanted to live in Hugo Chavez's world, his socialist world. I don't want to. How about this? Do you want to live in a Muslim world? A very theocratic, religious-based Muslim world. I sure as hell don't. In fact, I don't want to live in a phony Christian world either, like the one that George Bush is pushing. And a thing that's very interesting is that when Ahmadinejad gave his speech before the United Nations last year in 2005, he said that he felt a glowing light surrounding him for half an hour, and that nobody in the audience blinked because they were so mesmerized by his words. Now, to me, this sounds like a religious zealot, and I actually know somebody here where we live whose father personally knew this regime and actually got a phone call from Ahmadinejad. He's a businessman over here now, And Ahmadinejad said, we want to bring you back to Iran. Well, he said, hell no, he's not going back there because the last time he was over there doing business, he got screwed. That's why he came to America. He said, I'm not going over there to get screwed a second time. So, anytime the people say that God is speaking to them or directing their actions, it makes me nervous. Like when Alex Jones says on his radio show that God told him to bullhorn the Bilderbergs. That makes me nervous, and it makes me question his very sanity. Well, when Ahmadinejad's up there saying that a light surrounded him for half an hour and not a single person in the audience blinked because of his words, that makes me a little bit nervous too. On the other hand, if Ahmadinejad's up there at the Council on Foreign Relations going toe-to-toe with them legitimately, that's a step in the right direction. So, as I said, Ahmadinejad is an enigma. He says the right things, but on the other hand, he has this aura of being a very extreme religious zealot. He says he wants peace, but then he says he wants to destroy the United States and Israel. I don't want any forces at work. They're going to draw us into World War III in the Middle East, where nuclear weapons are going to be used. And I see this fiery rhetoric, and I don't want Ahmadinejad's Muslim world, where there was a report that he didn't attend one function after his UN speech because alcohol was being served. Well, I don't want that kind of Muslim imposition on me any more than I want George Bush's phony Christian world, that of Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell and these end timers. And I mean, if you think about it, Ahmadinejad has a very apocalyptic view of the world. I mean, very apocalyptic. He speaks in those terms about the end times, just like the religious figures over here do. And the way I see it is, if I had my druthers, I'd destroy organized religion completely. Why do we need organized religion that's no different in its corruption than that of organized political systems that are destroying this world? Jesus said, you don't need a church to worship the Lord. So why do we need organized religion, whether it's Confucianism, Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, or this fake Christianity that we see in this country? We don't need any of this stuff, especially when it starts seeping over into our politics. What it boils down to is what the United States needs desperately is we need, and this is going to sound naive, but damn it, we need a good leader that's putting the interests of everyday Americans at the forefront. We need a strong nationalist, populist leader. Because the future of America right now is at risk. We don't need any more Bush and Clinton devils. There was a military coup in Thailand. Why the hell can't we have one here? I mean, think how great it would be to clean out the White House and clean out the Congress. Now, of course, I don't mean that we should replace them with these neocon devils that run the war machine. We don't want those men in control either. But the world of Hugo Chavez's socialism or Iran's religious clerics, that's not for me. We don't want these mullahs and ayatollahs, these extremists. What we need is someone that wants to preserve the true freedoms of America. And whether you believe it or not, America is still the freest country that I know of. And if anybody thinks that there's any place freer, move there tomorrow and send me a postcard and say, hey, Victor, I just moved to X, Y, or Z. And you know what? It's a whole hell of a lot freer than America. Well, if it is, why aren't all these people going in droves to those places? Instead, everybody keeps coming here, which is a real problem, of course, because What it's doing is destroying the fabric of this country. One last thing about freedom. Even Europe. I know there's people that contact us that live in Europe, the European Union, that aren't even allowed to talk about the Holocaust. Well, here in America, we've spoken about it quite a number of times. We hear a few other radio show hosts talk about the Holocaust. We're not being arrested, but in Europe, look at how many people have been imprisoned because they've spoken or questioned the veracity of the official Holocaust story. I was proud to be at Ground Zero, to see these thousands of people up there. And you know what? This is the America we need. We don't need one where Israel controls us behind the scenes, or where we have a lobby like AIPAC that's located only 4 blocks from the Capitol. And you know how many people are on the staff of AIPAC, this huge lobby firm? 165 people work full-time to push the AIPAC agenda. You know how big their budget is? $47 million. They have $47 million at their disposal to push the Israel First agenda. And we give Israel, at a minimum, $10 billion a year. This is paid to them at the beginning of each fiscal year. And even though every other country that receives foreign aid has to account for how they spend, or they don't have to account for it, but they have to spend their foreign aid on American products, Israel is allowed to spend up to 25% of their aid on their own defense industry. That means their own Israeli war machine. And they don't have to account for the rest of the money, how they spend it. That's what we're faced with right here. We're faced with something like AIPAC and the Israeli lobby. To close out, ask yourself, do you want to see the death or the demise of the United States? I sure as hell don't. I love this country, warts and all, and I want to live the rest of my life in this country. Look at what we had. In the 1600s, we had the wildest and the freest of Europe move to America from England. In the 1700s and 1800s, the old, tired Europeans stayed where they were. The wild ones came here. In the 1800s and early 1900s, the wildest ones migrated to the West. And you actually had cowboys in a wild West. And you had this industrial revolution that started, of course, many years before. But after World War II, in the 1950s and the 1960s, there was a boom in this country that I don't even know if it's matched by China to this day. Also in the 60s, we had people that wanted to overthrow the system, the corrupt system. Well, in the 70s, we became jaded and disappointed, and it turned into the me decade. The 80s and 90s, we saw the yuppies. And today, I don't know what the hell we have. But do you want socialism or a religious theocracy running your life? Canada right now, I was talking to an individual that lives in Canada last week. He said 70% of their entire income goes to the government in one form or another of taxes. 70%. Do you want that? They say, oh, well, we got free health care up there. This guy said it's not free health care, regardless of what they say, because 70% of their income is going out in taxes. I mean, speaking of how people want to come here to this country, everybody's heard the news report, I'm sure now, of the woman out in Denver that had a rope tied around her neck and was dragged through the streets of Denver for over a mile. Blood, a bloody trail following her. Well, you know who was driving the truck that was pulling this woman that died because of this? An illegal alien. An illegal alien. And we can't even build a damn fence to keep them out. Millions of them every single year come into this country. I saw freedom at Ground Zero. I saw the police actually try to tell us that we couldn't stand there in front of their barricades and hold our banner up. Well, you know what happened? The loose changers that were behind us all grabbed hold of this 15-foot banner, and we walked along the streets in front of Ground Zero. And none of us were arrested. None of us were beaten down. And that's the kind of place I want to live. We've protested more than most, and we want to still keep protesting. So when you look at people on TV like Hugo Chavez, don't fall for the rhetoric. Don't fall for the hype you see on TV. Look at the system they have in their own country and ask yourself, is that what you want to? Do you want to live in Venezuela? Or do you want to live in Iran? Or do you want to live in Israel? Or do you want to live in the European Union? I want to live in America, and I want America to be the damn best nation that it can be. Regrettably, right now, there's so many forces working against us that I don't know if we're going to be able to preserve it. But be wary of who you put your faith in, because if these people are making it to the world stage, there's a reason why they're there. Very, very interesting, isn't it? Now, tomorrow, as I said, we're going to review Aaron Russo's Freedom to Fascism DVD. We're very, very excited and very much looking forward to seeing it for the first time. So you're going to hear our reactions tomorrow. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I know it's not as good being stuck with me flying solo, but thankfully, Lisa's going to be back tomorrow. I hope she's feeling much better then. Until tomorrow, keep your eyes open, because there's a lot going on.